Trump budget, Sanders unsatisfied with Iowa results. I'm John Trout. The Trump administration is offering a $4.8 trillion 2021 fiscal budget plan that resubmits previously rejected spending by the Democratic-controlled House.
Even before the ink was dry, members of Congress deemed the budget blueprint dead on arrival. For starters, it proposes a 6% cut in non-defense spending, a break from bipartisan spending agreements that were reached in August. The president's $4.8 trillion election year budget also ramps up the deficit to more than $1 trillion, but then proposes a steady decrease in subsequent years.
Linda Kenyon reporting from the nation's capital. Senator Bernie Sanders' campaign is seeking a partial re-canvass of the results of last week's Iowa caucuses. A re-canvass is not a recount, but a check of the vote count to ensure the results were added correctly. Correspondent Ryan Noble says Sanders is not leaving anything to chance leading into tomorrow's New Hampshire primary.
Sanders also has found a very specific way to distinguish himself from the former mayor's campaign, and that is their donor base. And Sanders has repeatedly gone after the fact that Buttigieg has a lot of wealthy donors to his campaign, and that Sanders' campaign has virtually no wealthy donors, that it's all done by a grassroots online army of donors.
Even more people on the cruise ship, the Diamond Princess, in port near Tokyo, are testing positive for coronavirus.
For the vast majority of patients, this is not a death sentence when you get a diagnosis. It's basically, you know, we spoke with an American woman, Rebecca Frazier, who's in the hospital. She doesn't even have any symptoms. She's not getting any medication or treatment.
Correspondent Will Ripley, worldwide, 40,000 people may be infected. The virus has claimed nearly 1,000 lives. In early trading on Wall Street, the Dow is down 16 points, the NASDAQ up 11. I'm John Trout.
Here is some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance, and it's worked beautifully for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and over the years, members have shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. You're not stuck with a high-cost health plan. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more, and there's no pressure. They are super easy to talk to. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
It's tax time. That means H&R Block offices are open early, late, by appointment, and on weekends. You can even walk in and drop off your forms.
Can I run in?
Sure, just be safe. There's a lot of furniture. Convenient hours, convenient location. Just another way it's better with Block.
At participating locations only. Always may vary by location.
This is Janet Rosenow from your locally owned H&R Block offices in the Yuma area, where you always know the price before you begin. Come in today.
It's the U.S. Army Yuma Proving Ground 2020 celebration. Come celebrate 77 years of testing for the best and check out military parachute jumps, high-performance jet aircraft flyovers, static displays, the Heritage Museum, Kid Zone, and live music featuring Grand Funk Railroad, the Manhattan Dolls, Side Hustle, THP, and performances by the K9 Stars, fireworks, and so much more. This is one you won't want to miss.
The train is right on time. Here comes the American Band, Grand Funk Railroad. Some Kind of Wonderful Tour, Saturday, February 15th at Yuma Proving Ground. Featuring John Furrer, Mel Shocker, Bruce Kulick, Max Carl, and Tim Cashin. This is a free event and open to the public. Grand Funk Railroad, Some Kind of Wonderful Tour.
It's YPG 2020, Saturday, February 15th, from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. on YPG's Cox Field.
Hey, y'all, it's Mardi Gras time. Alexander Toyota presents Yuma's favorite Mardi Gras on Main, Friday, February 21st, from 5 to 11 p.m., with entertainment by Milepost 30 and DJ Bob. Lots of vendors. There'll even be a costume contest. So grab your beads and head down to Main Street. It's Mardi Gras time. All proceeds raised help Fort Yuma Rotary Schools Project and Scholarship Program. Brought to you in part by Alexander Toyota, Country Club RV, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Arizona, MAL Medical Billing Services, Bose, The White Sheet, and this station.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, with four locations to serve all of your tire needs.
News, talk, sports, and up-to-date weather from 560 KBLU.
Cool today with a high of 58, rain 48, the overnight low. And then for Tuesday, sunny and 65, 41 Tuesday night, north wind at 15. Wednesday, sunny and 69, 44 on Wednesday night.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Decent Garner Law Firm, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hansen.
Good morning, Yuma. I'm attorney Adam Hansen. I'm in the studio today with the one and only, the revered Mr. Russ Clark.
Good morning.
Running the board for me. Thanks for being here today, Russ, making sure that the sound waves are actually put out on the radio. That's a task, you know.
I'll take responsibility for pushing a few buttons.
My wife, I say that because my wife usually has the earplugs in when I'm talking, and
does
so
she?
Yeah,
okay.
Those sound waves just aren't traveling quite as much as they should be, and so I really appreciate you giving the opportunity by running the board. I don't know how to do that.
Not a problem.
It's quite the skill to watch you move these levers and push these buttons. I tell you what, you do a good job. I hope you guys had a great weekend. The weather really, really. I was happy with it over the weekend. It seemed like last week we were about to have snow, and then all of a sudden by the end of the week, it was just beautiful outside on Friday, Saturday afternoon. Yesterday was gorgeous. So I hope you had time to enjoy that wonderful weather. I think today it called for rain over the weekend, I think on Monday, and so if this is a reminder. It's a little cloudy outside. It's looking pretty good.
Yeah.
It's currently 55 degrees, and I think it's going to get up to like 61. That's what the forecast is, but it's cloudy today, and it might rain. I mean, there are some chances, 70% chance of rain today. So if you have anything outside, this is my problem most of the time. I never believe it, so I think, that stuff that I'm going to leave outside, I'm just going to leave it. I'll get to it later, and then it rains on it. So if you have anything precious outside, put it under something or bring it in because it might rain today. If you're like me, I hardly think it. I regularly think that it's never going to rain, and so I tend to leave stuff out, like a tool, you know, my hammer. I'll leave it out sometimes outside, and it's okay. You know, the sun's going to be beating down,
it's
and sometimes sometimes it rains. Next thing I know, my hammer's all wet. So if you have anything outside, you might want to bring it in today. We talked about a couple weeks ago the tragic passing of Kobe Bryant. Remember,
right.
He was flying with his daughter. I can't remember how old she is. Gigi, she was 15,
like 13
maybe. 13, 15, something like that, teenager. And they were going to go to a practice, and they were with, I think, nine other passengers. And this was something that he did quite often. He had his own helicopter. He used it to get from place to place to avoid traffic in the L.A. area. Right. And so it was just a routine thing for him. The more reports that I've read and the more I've dug into this, he had a particular pact with his wife, Vanessa, that they would never travel together in that particular helicopter. And
oh.
So that actually happened. And as you all know, it came down and it crashed and all those on board died. And I bring this up again because now it's been a couple weeks since he passed away. And so as an attorney in this world of estate planning, we are always curious as to what a person had when they passed away, meaning not so much the value or the money, but did they take the steps, did they take time to put into place some sort of legal structure so that their family members won't be
right.
spinning their wheels.
So they're all protected.
Absolutely, yeah. And so as the reports come out and as more information is released, it's still pretty premature, but my guess is that Kobe probably had something in place. He was known to be very meticulous when it came to business and crossing every T, dotting every I kind of thing. We don't know yet what's going on because it's still kind of the morning stage on the world stage, and so things and reports are still coming out, and what we do know is that the worth of the estate was approximately $600 million.
Okay.
Half of that probably came from his play in the NBA for a 20-year career, and then the other half was for endorsements and sponsors and things from the likes of Nike and other such brands. And so those two income sources combined, by the time he passed away a couple weeks ago, added up to about $600 million worth of assets. And I imagine those are, you know, not just cash assets. I'm sure he invested those in real estate properties and businesses and in helicopters and other flying objects and things like that.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's not like he died with $600 million cash. I don't imagine that. Most people have them invested. If they have good counselors, good advisors around them, they're going to put those assets into something that makes more money for them. And so I'm sure that's how Kobe had it. We don't know yet. We don't know how things actually ended up. I was researching some things because the first question that came to my mind was, well, what about those other nine passengers on that helicopter, and how legally are they going to respond to what happened to their family members? There's a legal concept known as wrongful death. It's what we call a tort action in the legal world, and that means that when you are the cause of somebody's death, that family that is now harmed, because the idea is that they are emotionally distressed and that you took away a family member of theirs,
right,
and that's going to affect the rest of their life, and they want money compensation for that. And it's very hard to put a finite number on that. Oftentimes it's a loved one such as a father or a mother, and so what the court will do and what the lawyers will argue is that, well, this person, had they been living and had their life not been cut short, had a working life of about this long, and had they been working that long in their trade or making what they had been making before they passed away, they probably would have made about this much, and therefore you denied us of that much, and we want that. We want that amount denied us.
But this was an accident. This was not an intentional issue, although is it the lawyers start looking for fault, meaning that there was negligence?
So put yourself in the shoes of those other nine passengers that weren't in the Bryant family. They were friends and coaches and things like that. Other family, you know, they had their own families that weren't on that helicopter that just now are gone. They're gone.
Right.
So those other family members, in a time like this where it's incredibly emotional, they start looking for answers and start directing blame.
Right.
And oftentimes that blame is pointed at the person or the people that have the deepest pockets. And in this case, it's probably going to be the owner of the helicopter, which was Kobe Bryant. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it could happen.
I didn't think he was the owner of the helicopter. He rented it.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
And so that is still a factor. And as I haven't found the ownership. I haven't looked for it.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't dug deep enough into it. If that's the case, then you start going towards, like I said, the deep pockets.
And it was one that he used it regularly.
Yeah,
and the same helicopter.
So that pilot worked for a company.
Yeah.
And so that company is now going to be on the hook.
Right.
And so not only would the Bryant family have a claim, but you've got those other passengers that passed away. Their individual families or their estates will now have a claim towards that company, and that's typically how it works.
Right.
And it's very complicated when you get into this commercial type transportation area. I remember in law school, there were a lot of cases where that we would study in the tort world where there is no slack, there's no forgiveness, there's no leniency when it comes to a public transport type commercial entity, whether that be an airline, a train. A lot of the early cases from the early 1900s were obviously trains that would derail and kill people. And so there was a standard there that was put into place legally that if that commercial company was not meeting that standard, or they failed to meet that standard of upholding complete protection of their passengers, they are liable, almost like strict liability. It doesn't matter if they tried to protect them. It doesn't matter if they have procedures in place. If somebody got harmed on their particular company train or their company plane or their company helicopter, they're going to have to pay out money to make that family whole for the member of the family that they lost because of the accident. And so they're called common carriers is the name of the, right, the legal doctrine there. And so in this particular case, had Kobe not owned the helicopter, which, Russ, if you're right, then they're going to go after that common carrier, which would be the private company that he used to rent the helicopter.
And you do need to take a break.
I do need to take a break. Let's do it. This is Life, Death, and the Law, 560 AM KBLU.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the Deason Garner Law Firm at 928-783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
Easy with Spectrum Mobile. Unlike other providers, you can actually mix and match our unlimited and buy to gig data plans so you can build the perfect family plan. Unlimited nationwide talk and text is always included. See for yourself with a Spectrum Mobile savings calculator. Go to spectrummobile.com/save and see how you could save up to 40% or more. Plus, you can change plans without penalty, and there are no added taxes, fees, or contracts. Visit spectrummobile.com/save. Restrictions apply. Check for details.
At Nationwide Vision, you can get two pairs of eyeglasses for just $99.99, including no-line bifocals. Call 1-800-EYE-CARE or visit nationwidevision.com to schedule your appointment today. Nationwide Vision.
From essential oils to quality natural herbs and supplements to massage, pure drinking water, stress-reducing flotation, herbs to oils is holistic health for Yuma, brand new in the Fortuna Palms Plaza. Here's founder and owner Terry Holland with the Herbs to Oils Minute.
Hi, this is Tony Holland at Herbs to Oils, helping people with their health with Nature Sunshine products and doTERRA essential oils. We carry only the highest quality products at Herbs to Oils. We carry Nature Sunshine, the first company to encapsulate herbs. They are noted in the industry as being the very highest quality. We also have water here. Come in and have a drink. We have reverse osmosis, where we put the minerals back in. We have alkaline water, hydrogen / oxygen water, which gives you a lot of energy. We have a massage therapist, or you can use our massage chair. We have a float tank, which is a float spa. It is also known as a deprivation tank.
Herbs to Oils, holistic health for Yuma. Brand new in the Fortuna Palms Plaza.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Deason Garner Law Firm.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Attorney Adam Hansen. I'm in the booth today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark running the board and bringing
That's
us
right.
in and out and doing all jazz.
And I'm reading about helicopters. I want to.
Oh, you're intrigued, aren't you?
Well, I am. That it's a tragedy, and I hate to see it. I love flight. I love helicopters, airplanes, all that stuff. And when one goes down and puts a smear on the whole
industry,
know,
yeah,
I don't like
Thanks
it.
Thanks to this type of stuff, my wife won't let me get my license.
That's true. Sometimes a lot of people.
Yeah. So, and if the listeners don't know this, Russ, you have a lot of experience in the flight world. You have your pilot's license.
Right.
You had a plane in the past. You still have that?
No, I do not. Okay. I sold it 5-6 years ago.
But you're looking at it. You love those.
I love flying.
Those birds, right?
Yeah.
So this really intrigues Russ, and I love it when we talk about it because he really he perks up. But before we get too far into this, let me just make mention of today's radio hour sponsor. It's Deason Garner and Hansen. That's my law firm. We operate in this world of estate planning, and that word alone could be very misleading. I think a lot of people hear the word estate planning and are like,
I don't have an estate.
I don't get it. Yeah, I don't have enough for that, or I don't.
I'm
need
a regular
that,
working
or,
guy.
Yeah, exactly right. And the reality is, an estate plan can be as unique as your family. And the reality is, you need to have something in place. The way that we help the people of Yuma understand what they need is by putting on educational seminars, and we do that twice a month. And in fact, if you're looking at going to one of these, and you should, if you need answers to your questions about whether what you have in place right now is sufficient enough for you and your family, or whether you don't have anything in place and you need to know where to start. These seminars are one of the best places to get that information. If you're anything like me, I like to do things myself a lot. And I do a lot of research on the internet. I do a lot of research on when I ask people that have done that particular thing or are going to do that thing. I ask them questions, and I want to gather the information so I have enough to go off to make a logical decision as to what I'm going to buy and how I'm going to do this and how I'm going to put this thing together. And so if you're anything like me, I try to do that a lot. Oftentimes, I put in a lot of time and effort, and I'm still, by the end of it, after researching and researching online, I still have tons of questions. And the reality is, I won't know the answers to those questions until I actually do it. And that's been the story of my life. You just have to do something, and that's when you learn. Because it's through that experience that you're like, okay, if I do this again, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. And most people don't have time to do that, to go through something and then fail to see what needs to be better. Well, good news is there's a lot of people around you that have gone through issues and have your back. And that's what we want to do at the Decent Garner and Hanson Law Firm. We want to make sure that you have everything in place. And we've been through this over and over and over again. So we know how to help your particular family do and be protected in a way that you want them to be protected. The way that you get your information is coming to the source that's been through it over and over again, and that's us. And we do that, like I said, twice a month. We've actually got seminars coming up this next coming week. It's February 20th. That's a Thursday morning at 10:30 at the Yuma Main Library. If you can't make it on Thursday morning, the 20th of February, then come out to the Foothills Library. It's February 21st. It's the next day, Friday, February 21st, again at 10:30. We like to keep them all consistent, 10:30 in the morning, so that you know. I can go out to the library at 10:30, and Decent Garner and Hanson is going to be there. So come out to one of these seminars and see what we can do for your family. It's a non-obligatory presentation. Right. It's all educational. It just tells you what your planning options are and what you can do to get your particular family in order. You want some water, Russ?
I'm good.
Gum? What do you got there?
I got cough drops.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So, come on out to one of these seminars and see what we can do for your family. So getting back to Kobe's situation, and like you said, Russ, you know, he didn't own the helicopter. To your knowledge,
Island Express Helicopters Incorporated.
And this was a rental company that he used quite often, you said?
Yeah, it was an on-demand VFR out of that local area.
And the idea, again, Russ is really into this. I love it because he knows all the lingo, the terms, and things like that. In your estimation, that morning, from what I understood, the reports were saying that when Kobe took off, I say it as if he was flying. He didn't fly. He rented this company.
Yep.
Their job was to get him and these other nine individuals to this spot. That was what they were hired to do.
Right.
And had flight rules been such that they shouldn't have taken off, there's a big problem. There's a huge liability.
It was a bad day. It was ground. A lot of people were grounded, so they couldn't fly. It was marginal VFR, marginal. A lot of clouds, a lot of stuff in the air.
A lot of fog, right?
A lot of fog, and they ran into it, and this guy got himself in trouble, even though he was an instrument-rated pilot. And he should have been not panicked. Shouldn't have been. You know, even if your helicopter is not instrument-rated, you still, in emergency situations, you just fly the instrument. You get to the clouds, you tell the tower that, you know, you need a clearance to climb up through the clouds or something. They'll give it to you.
Who knows this guy's story? I mean, it might have been the first meeting of Kobe Bryant, and here he is awestruck, right? And so now maybe he's trying to show off. I don't know.
Well, I got the impression he was a regular, and a regular helicopter, regular company that he rented, but...
Yeah, who knows, you know?
But now the local politicians, they want to put some more stringent rules on these helicopters by making sure they have terrain, warnings that, you know, you're close to terrain. Which I assume could be helpful in some cases, but this guy should have known anyway. I mean, he has GPS. Everybody does. Everybody can see where the mountains are. If you're paying attention, if you're instrument rated, something happened, though. He panicked. It was a human error.
Yeah, and whatever happened, it ended badly. And a lot of you know over there in the California area, a lot of times they've got this heavy fog cover in the mornings, and it tends to burn off by the afternoon, mid-afternoon. It'll burn off.
This happened at 9:45.
Right, and so that cloud, that fog cover just sits there, and then it tends to burn off near the as the day heats up, right?
Right.
And so I can see it in my mind. I can see what happened because I've experienced that as we go through the mountains going over to San Diego at about that time. Oftentimes you hit really, really bad fog. There's been a time or two, actually, when my family, and I'm driving just going over to San Diego, and that fog as you go up the mountains past El Centro, and you're going through the pass there, you know, near the casino, Golden Acorn.
It can get dark. It gets dense.
It gets really foggy sometimes and cold, you know.
And I've flown my private plane through that, and I'll have my secretary with me, and I think it's going to be a nice day. It ends up not, and I file IFR, and then I have to warn her. I'm like, we're going to fly into the clouds. You know, she says, what does that mean? I said, you're not going to be able to see. It's kind of spooky if you're not. It's like driving a car with all your windows taped over, you know, and you're going as fast as you can go. And it feels a weird, and you know, you have to calm them down, point out, okay, the mountains below us are at 4,000 feet. We're at 6,500 or wherever we are, 7,000, and we're good, and we're talking to tower. They see us. And, you know, center sees us. They're talking to us. And then when I said, your job is to keep looking, tell me when you see ground, and we'll cancel IFR and we'll go VFR.
There you go.
You know.
And so those terms that you're throwing out there, IFR is instrument flight rules, right? And then you've got the visual flight rules, VFR.
Yeah.
And so you got to toggle back and forth. Some people, when you get your pilot's license, you have to be at least VFR trained, correct?
Well, that's where you start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have to have instrument flight training?
No.
No. So that's an added endorsement that you can get.
Many never get it. It's a big jump to get to IFR. It's not a small thing. It's a lot of extra work.
Well, in this particular case, Kobe's pilot that he rented had IFR training.
Yeah.
He had instrument flight rule training.
Which is very helpful.
When that thick fog was there, he should have been able to deal with it, by the instrument.
Yeah, without panicking. You know, you would think that he would be able to maneuver. Even if you don't have clearance, you know, you can claim emergency, whatever. I'm not supposed to be, but I got tricked. I flew into it. You know, I'm sure you have to have some paperwork filled out. But
yeah, but nonetheless, what happened was the result of that was the crash of the helicopter, and you had all these, you know, the tragic deaths.
Terrible.
So now, from a legal perspective, what's going to happen, like I mentioned before, I imagine these families will go after somebody, but not that I'm wishing for it, not because I'm a blood-sucking lawyer or anything like that. That's not what it's about. But when you put yourself in these family's shoes, you start to ask questions. Why did that happen, and should it have been avoided? And that's usually what is the impetus of a legal action towards some sort of company or some sort of actor.
And they obviously got a case because other helicopters were grounded, other people weren't flying. You know,
the police wouldn't even fly.
Nobody was flying. Only these guys were, and they weren't rated to fly. The plane wasn't. The aircraft was not. It was
so
a VFR flight.
A lot of factors come in, and I imagine that'll come down the road. And the question becomes, what happens? You know, when a person passes away, and they're not there to promulgate this actual legal action that caused their death, they're not there, right? They passed away.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? Well, when a person dies, there is a legal entity that is automatically created, and we call that an estate. And that's a word that, again, puts a lot of people off when I throw it out there because they think to themselves, well, I don't have enough to have an estate. It's not a value. It's an actual
It's a legal term.
Legal term that's used when you pass away. You have an estate. Everybody has one. You might have a lot. You might have a little. You might have somewhere in between. You might not have anything but have a legal action or claim that you can't push forward because you're dead. And so you need somebody to do that on your behalf. And that happens all the time. Oftentimes there will be a case that I'll have to help a family with because the person that died because of something that shouldn't have happened, that shouldn't have taken their life. And now the estate needs to deal with the life insurance proceeds that are coming in from maybe a policy that they left behind. And then also this legal action that needs to be taken in order to be compensated for the wrongful death, is the legal term of art, of that particular person.
And this thing gets tied up in courts for quite some time, usually.
It can. They actually cruise through quite a bit.
Do they?
Yeah, and oftentimes what will happen is, especially in this world of tort, that's the legal doctrine that we're going to be under, is it's a tort law. And that means that you hurt somebody else, and they're going to seek private I shouldn't say private. I should say not criminal charges right. against you. They're going to be civil. Civil. When you go into a civil lawsuit, the compensation is going to be money. When you go into a criminal case, the compensation or the judgment is going to be time in jail or prison. That's what you're going. So criminal world, if you have criminal charges against you, and oftentimes those can end in a fine as well.
Yeah, but it's going to limit your freedom. Yeah.
Most of the time, it's going to restrict your freedom in some way, in the sense of house arrest, going to jail, or prison.
Losing rights.
If you're in the civil world, if you're in the civil lawsuit world, the only way that you can get compensation is through money. And a lot of people, if you remember back in the mid-90s, the late 90s, there was a very, very well-spread, well-reported, news-worthy lawsuit against McDonald's because an older woman put a cup of coffee between her legs.
I remember it.
Yep, trying to put that lid on,
yeah.
And it spilled all over her lap. It ultimately really damaged her crotch area.
Yeah,
and so she sued McDonald's for coffee being too hot.
We can't get hot coffee to this day.
Nope. We've got to go to break, yep. And I'll pick right up back up on that. This is 560 AM, KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the Deason Garner Law Firm at 928-783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
KBLU. Sean Hannity's brought to you by Liberty Motorsports on Arizona Avenue for all the best motorsports products in the industry, plus your service needs since 1981.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters, and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters, and it's time for the Sprague Sports semi-annual gun clearance sale. Semi-annual, that means twice a year. And gun clearance means it's all gotta go. Guns, that is. We're talking new and used, special buys, and more, all at blowout prices. And it's going on all week long. The semi-annual gun clearance sale at Sprague's. Stop in and see it for yourself. You know you wanna. Because whether it's the gun clearance sale, the indoor shooting range, which is really cool, by the way, the archery gear, the ammo, the outdoor gear, you name it, you're going to find it at Sprague Sports. Don't miss the semi-annual gun clearance sale going on now. Lots of guns, got to go. Twice a year. Handguns, rifles, shotguns, you name it. It's all happening at Sprague Sports. Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Responsible gun ownership since 1956. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's. Online at Sprague's.com.
Derek Egeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. I'm attorney Adam Hansen, and I'm in the booth today with the one and only Mr. Russ Clark running
yes,
the board and
sir.
Giving us his expert pilot opinion about how things fly and what not to do when flying a helicopter. And we've been talking heavily about the Kobe Bryant death case when his helicopter went down. I keep saying his, and he was flying. He wasn't flying. I don't want to give that impression. He was not flying, like Russ had said earlier, if you were listening to the earlier part of the program. He was not flying the aircraft. He was not a pilot. He regularly rented from this one company, not only the helicopter unit, but also a pilot comes along with that. You know, you when you rent a helicopter, I don't know. I've never done it, but I'm assuming they provide a pilot.
We should
so
get you to
get
that
somewhere.
Stage in life where that's where you're doing regularly.
That's what I want to do. That's my goal in life, okay, is to rent a helicopter
regularly.
That comes with a pilot.
Yeah, yeah,
that comes
yeah.
with a pilot.
Yeah.
So that's what Kobe regularly did from this company. Right before the break, I'd made mention of the McDonald's case back in the 90s, the late 90s, where that She was an older woman. She went to McDonald's with her daughter. I don't know if you know all the facts or remember the facts. The media really didn't report it very well.
No.
And I think that had a lot to do with McDonald's, really. Their power, their clout, their money was able to kind of control the narrative in the media. And the reality was they shouldn't have done what they did. And as a consequence,
when you say they shouldn't, you mean McDonald's? It was,
yeah.
It came out too hot.
Yeah. If you read the trial transcripts and you go through that whole case, the actual evidence, they had been warned over and over and over again about their coffee being too hot. They kept it at boiling levels. In fact, they had policies throughout the world as to keep it at a certain temperature. And that particular branch, that particular McDonald's, didn't. They were going against the procedures that McDonald's as a corporate.
Oh, I didn't even know that. They'd been warned.
Yeah, and so they had been warned over and over and over again.
It's a bad deal.
It's a bad deal. And so, obviously, when you have boiling hot substance.
And this was an older lady, and she was very prone
fragile.
To injury.
Yeah, and so she had thin skin layer, I'm sure, especially there in the thigh area.
It caused her a lot of aggravation. And then McDonald's didn't want to settle. They wanted to fight it.
They wanted to fight it. They thought they were right.
Did.
And ultimately, I bring that up because... in this particular case of Kobe, where his estate will most likely have a really good claim, and as well as all those other individuals that died, even the person or the people that saw the helicopter come down, they're probably going to come out of the woodworks because they're going to claim emotional distress from watching this. And
PTSD.
Yep, their life won't be the same, and they'll probably get something too.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are going to come after this company. I give you the McDonald's example because... In this type of world of law where we've got either criminal charges or you've got civil actions, again, criminal ends in jail time or restriction of freedom of some way, and then you've got civil cases where you go to court, you sue somebody, and the judgment there you're seeking is for money compensation to make that person whole.
Right.
And so in the McDonald's case, I bring that up because in McDonald's, When it all came down to it and you had a jury there listening to the evidence without media telling them their narrative or McDonald's narrative, when they heard the attorneys from McDonald's side, they heard the attorneys from this little lady's side, and then they looked at the actual evidence of the damage that was caused, really she only sued for the medical bills. That's what she initially
originally,
sued for.
Yeah.
They were so... it almost killed her because of the bad burns that she had there. And McDonald's said, no, we're not going to do that.
Right.
And they said, okay, we'll keep coming at you then. All they wanted was the medical bills paid, but McDonald's refused. And so they pushed and pushed and pushed. And ultimately, I tell you the story because in the end of that, in the end of the trial, the evidence was overwhelming for the jury to say, yeah, you're guilty. You shouldn't have done this. You hurt this little old lady. And the only way that they can... hurt McDonald's is monetarily, and so they levied a huge fine,
like $4 million or something.
Yeah, I think it was more than that. I think it might have been up in the billions. I can't remember. It was one of the highest.
But it was. We don't really know what the outcome was because we know that they probably settled for something, but we don't know what that was.
Yeah, and I don't remember off the top of my head, but McDonald's. It was one of the largest judgments against the corporation in history to that point. And so McDonald's, you know, the way that the jury was trying to send a message to McDonald's is usually when a person is criminally liable, let's say they kill a person, the end of that particular criminal action is going to be through the court system, the death penalty. Well, you can't necessarily...
Not in a civil case.
You can't send McDonald's to the death, you know, to the electric chair. The way that you do that is with money judgments. We've got a caller on the line.
You're on the air.
Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I'm assuming that the company itself doesn't pay out the judgment. They have insurance companies, right, that do that?
Oftentimes they do, yes. Very good question. And a lot of companies will have some sort of bond or they'll have some sort of insurance in place to hopefully... you know, pay most of these judgments, but there are times where the judgment is so high that it goes beyond the insurance limits. And I don't know, I don't remember the actual facts of the McDonald's case at the very end, how that all played out. Obviously, the family did end up getting money. I don't know if they just settled on maybe the extension of the insurance limits that McDonald's had. I don't remember. But yes, you're right. Most companies will have some sort of bond or insurance in place so that it will look to pay off these judgments that come at it or that are levied against it. But sometimes... And go ahead.
Go ahead. Oh, okay. So the insurance company probably doesn't care what the judgment is because they're going to transfer that over onto their customers, just like car insurance and all that kind of insurance.
Theoretically.
Yeah. So when you, let's say McDonald's in this particular case, when this all went down and let's say the insurance paid out, they have to. I mean, that's the terms of their policy. They pay out to their limits.
Right.
And now McDonald's goes to renew with them. They're probably going to say, we're not going to unless you pay us more, a monthly premium that's higher, right? Just like you're saying for a car insurance. If I get in an accident, that insurance company isn't going to insure me unless I pay a little bit more now because they're worried. They're worried I'm going to get in another accident and things like that.
Because you're a bad risk.
So your rates go up. Yeah. And it goes from company to company. So if McDonald's jumps from that particular insurance company, and they go to look for a better insurance company with lower premiums, well, when they're filling out that paperwork or they're going through that application process, one of the questions on there is, have you been sued in the last 3 years? You know, fill in the blank. What was the result of that lawsuit? So these insurance companies want to know who they're insuring. They're not just going to say, hey, you Joe Schmo off the street, I'll give you this insurance. They want to know what they're getting into. So it doesn't matter. It tends not to matter if you go from company to company after having been through a lawsuit because they're going to ask you questions through that application process where they're going to glean the information that they need anyway to make sure that they're charging you an appropriate fee for the risk that you're presenting to them. If they still take you on and you lied in your application and then something happens, then that's their out. They're going to say, well, we asked you to disclose in the application. You didn't disclose honestly in the application, so we're not going to pay out anything for you.
Yeah,
the whole policy is void. So that's,
okay, hey, you guys have a good day.
Sir.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. Great question.
Yeah, that happened in New Mexico, by the way. Liebeck was the lady's name. She actually had to be hospitalized for 8 days, had skin grafting, and 2 years of medical treatment. So the judgment was for $2.86 million, and we needed $160,000 just in medical, and $2.7 million in punitive damages.
And that's so when you hear the word punitive damages, that means that the jury said,
you're a bad character.
You're bad, yeah. We want to hurt you, and that's why they levied that.
But the final verdict, and they settled on $640,000.
Wow.
So brought it down to $640,000.
That was really nice of the family. So by this time, just to give you some background, she had died. She died before the judgment. And so the family was probably sick
was
of all of it.
She was 79 years old when it happened.
Yeah. Yeah, it almost killed her. She was in intensive care. So, and I bring that case up not to... you know, elicit emotions from the listeners as to we shouldn't be so willing to sue each other and things like that, which I agree with. I'm not for a litigious society, but I am for being made whole when you are harmed in society. And that's really what this was about.
And that McDonald's just turned their back on what was right.
Right.
And that's why the punitive damage.
Exactly. And the jury saw that. And so it was the right outcome in this case. And people say all the time, oh, we live in such a litigious society.
Mm.
I don't really see it that way. I see our laws are designed to throw out what we call frivolous cases. So if you file a case in court and it turns out to be frivolous, that attorney that filed that case is going to be sanctioned. They're going to maybe even be talked to by the bar, maybe lose their license. There's going to be consequences. So you can't just go around suing people unless you actually have some sort of
There's people that have tried.
Yes, there have, and I'm sure you've experienced this, Russ. You and I have talked about this.
Yeah.
But usually it doesn't go anywhere. And
right.
And I've seen this too, where I might have a client where you've got this other gung-ho attorney that's just really going for it and starts filing actions and stuff. Well, the first thing I say to the judge is, this is frivolous. We need to get this out, and you need to sanction that attorney. And then things calm down a little bit because... My goal is to let that other attorney know, listen, I'm not going to stand for this. I don't want frivolous cases in the system. We want good cases. If you're right, if this person was harmed and there was actually a legal action to sue for, then let's work it out. But if there's not and you're just looking for money, then you're going to get sanctioned. And that's my goal as an attorney is to identify those things. Oftentimes, there's not a lot of them coming through because a lot of the attorneys, they just won't do it. They don't want to get sanctioned.
Now, this case famous enough that law schools, I'm sure, talk about it.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit, but it was kind of an open, closed case. The ones in law school that you talk about are those that are kind of gray and that create a precedent. So
okay.
When we look at the tort cases in law school, for example, going back to the common carrier doctrine, that's an airline company or a rental helicopter company or a train company. These are companies that through the years carry passengers, and they have a very high standard that they have to provide of safety and protection. And so early on in law school and tort cases, the common carrier doctrine came through because there were trains that were blowing up and that were derailing, hurting people and things like that. And so the court system have, through the court cases, have come up with a doctrine for common carriers that is very, very strict. They have to provide a high level of protection to their passengers. If they don't meet that standard, then they're liable.
Is that the reason every time the plane takes off, we got to go through the whole thing about the flotation devices under your seat and all that?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a reasonable thing. You got to take a break, buddy.
Let's go to a break. This is Life, Death, and Law, 560 KBLU.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the Deason Garner Law Firm at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Get ready for a glamorous evening of mystery, intrigue, and murder at Quachan Casino Resort. Midnight at the Masquerade, Friday, February 21st. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. Show starts at 6:30 p.m. Arizona time. With a mystery under each mask, it's up to you to gather the clues and figure out which partygoer is guilty, bringing this crime to justice and saving the party. Dinner show tickets are only $25 and are on sale now at PlayQCR.com or at the casino box office.
Listen to Sean Hannity weekdays from noon to 3 right here on 560 AM KBLU. Sean Hannity's brought to you by Liberty Motorsports on Arizona Avenue for all the best motorsports products in the industry, plus your service needs since 1981.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters, and it's time for the Sprague Sports semi-annual gun clearance sale. Semi-annual, that means twice a year. And gun clearance means it's all gotta go. Guns, that is. We're talking new and used, special buys, and more, all at blowout prices. And it's going on all week long. The semi-annual gun clearance sale at Sprague's. Stop in and see it for yourself. You know you wanna. Because whether it's the gun clearance sale, the indoor shooting range, which is really cool, by the way, the archery gear, the ammo, the outdoor gear, you name it, you're going to find it at Sprague Sports. Don't miss the semi-annual gun clearance sale going on now. Lots of guns, got to go. Twice a year. Handguns, rifles, shotguns, you name it. It's all happening at Sprague Sports. Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Responsible gun ownership since 1956. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's. Online at Sprague's.com.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Deason Garner Law Firm.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. I am an attorney, Adam Hansen. I don't even know my own name.
You do know who you are. I can tell.
And we're in the booth today with Russ Clark, and we're talking about the Kobe Bryant tragedy that happened a few weeks ago. And leading up to that, we've been talking about the McDonald's case that a lot of you know about, the spilled hot coffee and things like that. And I give you that background for doctrines.
Love lawyers.
Yeah. Quite the opposite, actually. But I give you that background because of the doctrines that have come through criminal cases and civil cases and things like that. So you have a little bit of background and maybe a different perspective when talking about things with your friends and your family. We talked about Kobe earlier on in the very beginning because as an estate planner, as an attorney that deals primarily in estate planning and business structures, it's really interesting to me when people pass away, because my first question is, well, I wonder if they took the time to meet with an attorney to get a plan in place, such as a living trust or a last will and testament, things like that. And so that, from my angle, is what I'm always kind of curious about, to see how well they were prepared for what happened. And in Kobe's case, it's still too new. We still don't know the answers to those questions, but I'm keeping a tab on it, and I'll let you know as they come out. I'm willing to bet that Kobe probably had some sort of trust in place. I imagine he was really known to be very savvy when it came to business, and he was a smart guy. He spoke Italian. because his dad played in the Italian leagues.
But there are a lot of smart guys, like Prince even. He died with no will. You know, it can happen.
I don't know. I mean, when I think of Prince, I don't think smart. I think artist.
Okay, artist. Yeah, you're right. I think that's a fair distinction.
I think Kobe,
more business.
Yeah, he retired, what, 3 years ago, and he has been making money ever since, and that's because of these brands that he took off with, these business ventures that he's doing. And so that's, I think in my mind, you don't do that without having a good team around you of either attorneys and accountants and things like that, helping you structure these entities. And I imagine in that process, they're going to say, Kobe, because this is what I would say. Say, hey, before we do anything, we need to start with the base. And that is, what happens if you don't come home today to your family? What happens with all this stuff? Let's get in a plan together, and let's make sure that's all set up first, and then we plug everything else into that. And I imagine that's what happened in this case.
And someone like Mike Tyson, who has made as much money or more money than Kobe Bryant probably, has like a net worth of $2 million.
Right.
Because he's an idiot.
Yeah. When you
don't tell him I said that. Don't come in. Don't let him come after me.
I'm going to knock your box off.
Exactly.
Oh, Tyson. I love the guy. I love to just listen to him talk. It's just hilarious. But
he's made bad decisions.
Yeah, and he's had tragedies in his own life, too, with deaths and things like that. I feel bad for the guy.
Right.
But it seems like he's turning things around, like he's getting better people around him. I think what tends to happen is these people, they hit stardom so fast and they get this wealth that they didn't realize before. And now they have a lot of family members coming out of the woodworks. You've got a lot of friends surrounding you.
And they think it's never-ending money.
And they feel like it's their obligation to help. You know, when you've got Aunt Jemima back in Florida saying, hey, I'm down on my luck. I've been living in the projects all my life. Mm-hmm. And then you want to buy them a house. And you want to buy your other aunt in Georgia a house over here. And so by the time you know it, you have nothing left because you've helped all of these people. And so there are cases like that where they just don't have anything left.
Those are common. That's like lottery winners, you know.
Absolutely.
Very few of them have money after 5 years.
Before we get too far into it, and before the end of the show, I just want to make mention of the seminars that I have coming up next week. February 20th, that's a Thursday at 10:30 at the Yuma Main Library. Again, come to one of these seminars, see what we can do for you. If you already have planning in place, we can help you understand it, and we can review it with you for free. Come to one of these seminars, and you'll start to see, well, maybe my plan isn't what I thought it was. If you don't have planning in place, this is the first place that you need to go. You can try Google all you want, but you're going to be frustrated in the end because you're going to find that there are so many voices out there you don't know what to trust or what to believe. Just come to one of our seminars and you can get the right information, and we'll even answer your questions there. If you can't make it to Thursday's seminar at 10:30 at the Yuma Main Library, try February 21st. That's a Friday. That's the next day at 10:30 at the Yuma Foothills Library. So Thursday at the Main Library, Friday at the Yuma Foothills Library. Try to make one of those and come talk to me. I'd love to meet you. I'd love to answer your questions in person. And we can help you get your family's affairs in order, really. And that's what our goal is, so that you don't have to end up being the talk of your family after you pass away. No, that's not what it's about. It's really about getting things lined up so that your family doesn't hate you.
You want to protect them.
Yeah, and that's really
important. Don't make your passing be a pain to everybody.
Yeah, and that all can be avoided. So getting back to Kobe, we talked about the legal liability that might be there because of this rental company of the helicopter. I talked about the McDonald's case and how companies, they don't go on criminal trial. They go and they get sued for money because they're not a person. They're a thing. And so the only way to kill them is to levy a huge fine against them. We call that punitive damages. And I talked about the McDonald's case to bring that point true. Well, in this particular case where Russ had told us that Kobe didn't fly the helicopter, he didn't own the helicopter, he rented it from this company that he commonly did this with. And so he probably is off the hook for liability. All these families, including Kobe's, now have a tort action, a wrongful death action against this helicopter rental company. And like you said, I don't know if you're okay with me talking about this on air, but we were talking about it over the break, Russ, where if the listeners aren't aware of this, Russ does have his pilot's license, and he loves to fly. He loves aviation. He doesn't currently have his plane, but he can fly any plane, right?
Right. Yeah, anything.
Anything you throw at him, yeah. But he was telling me that when he first bought his first airplane, he was encouraged by the lawyers to create an entity to put that
separate
ownership
from me, separate.
In, right? Yep. And why was that? Why do you think that was?
For legal liability. I mean, in case something happens to that plane and it goes down, there's a lot of liability. And if you put it in a separate C Corp, all the liability goes to that C Corp and not to my personal estate.
And Russ had mentioned that back then when he did this, the lawyers also said, you kind of want to steer towards a C corporation because it's got a lot more founding in case law where we know the result of something. If something were to happen and you were to get sued, we can basically know what the end result is going to be legally through a court system because it's been done before.
Yeah.
It's been tested over the course of the United States.
And they said it couldn't be an LLC because that hasn't been tested, so don't mess with it.
And it's not that it couldn't be. I would argue with that.
Well,
nowadays
they weren't comfortable.
That was a little while back.
Yeah.
And so now we've had more and more case law come through, and the judges and the courts have responded in a way that if you're treating your LLC like a corporation, like a C corp, it's going to be under that body of law. If you're treating it like a partnership.
And you know what? That's very important that you just mentioned that. And I know too many businesses that treat their corporations like an extension of their bank account. It's not.
That's bad.
It cannot be. You work off of a paycheck like everybody, and it's a separate entity. Otherwise, they'll do what they call piercing it if you do get into trouble.
That's right. They'll pierce the corporate veil, and then you're... No matter what, the reason you build that LLC or that corporation is to insulate yourself from the liability.
Right.
So if something happens under the guise of that particular entity and you're getting sued, that entity is going to take it on full bore.
Right.
But you as a person are free from liability in the sense of they're not going to go after, lawyers there aren't going to go after your personal house. They're not going to go after your personal car. The only one that they can name in that action is actually that LLC or that corporation. And so it might die, like in this case, the helicopter company, the rental company.
Potentially.
They're most likely gone. I mean, nobody's going to rent the helicopter or a plane from them anymore because they're going to be known as the people that killed Kobe.
Well, yeah. So, Delta has planes go down. Delta still exists, you know, but they're equipped for it.
And they didn't kill Kobe Bryant. So there's a difference when we're on the private world. It's all about, you know, business and how are you going to market your company? I'm sorry we killed Kobe, but we're better now. You can come fly with us. It's all right. I'm probably not going to go. They're going to have to create a whole new company. This is just Adam talking.
You think it's not going to be Island Express helicopters anymore?
No, they're gone. And after the lawsuits that are going to be levied against them, they're toast anyway. They're going to have to close up shop. I don't know. That's just my take on things because nobody's going to want to fly them, number one, so they're not going to have any new money coming in.
I don't know if they're traded publicly. Maybe you should buy stock.
That's a bad stock to buy. Do not do that.
All right.
But anyway, when you're suing a company, once it's out of assets, it's dead. It's hollow, you know, and so the idea there is you can't take this helicopter rental company to the electric chair and charge them criminally for something they did and kill it that way because it's not a person. So the only way you can kill it is to take this civil action for wrongful death and just wipe it out monetarily. You levy a punitive damage judgment against them that is so overwhelming that it's going to bankrupt that company. And then they're out. They're gone. It's basically sending them to the electric chair.
Now, they have a website. The only thing on it is they apologize and they've suspended operations.
There you go. I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
So that's typically what happens in the commercial world, and very.
You only have about 15 seconds. I just didn't warn you.
That's all right. we'll be back next Monday again to talk about this. So we've got more to talk about next Monday. Come to one of our seminars coming up next week, the 20th and the 21st, and we'll be talking to you on Monday. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the Deason Garner Law Firm at 928-783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program.
All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. From the one out.